I want to read a passage of Scripture. It's not the sermon material for tonight, but I think it's in 2 Corinthians. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. I thought about it as over and over in the song. They said, I'm ready for deliverance. And I thought about this passage of Scripture, and it really is a blessing. I just hope I'm in the right place. I am. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. The Bible said in verse number 9 that we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. Now I want you to notice this verse right here. Who delivered us. That's past tense. I have been delivered. He delivered us from so great a death. Now watch this now. And doth deliver. That means I'm being delivered right now. I have been delivered. I'm being delivered. Now look at the last part of the verse. In whom we trust. This is why they can sing in that song, I'm ready for deliverance. He will yet deliver us. You see, we have been delivered from the penalty of sin. Brother Anthony gets around to it one day. He'll sing, the only fire I ever feel is burning in my heart. Amen. We have been delivered from the penalty of sin. We are being delivered from the power of sin. But thank God one day after a while we'll be delivered from the presence of sin. Amen. We'll not be around anymore. Praise the Lord. I'm ready for deliverance. Amen. Revelation chapter 1 tonight. Revelation chapter 1 tonight. It's good to have the Holcomb family back with us tonight. It's a wonderful joy to meet them this morning. And there's Miss Linda. She's back too. I got to quit talking about her. She just keeps praying for me. Amen. I need to leave her alone. Let her pray for me. And she's not any kin to Sam. She promised me that. Amen. Appreciate Sister Linda Lane being here. Each one of you being here tonight. And I think Charity's found her a babysitter. His name is Sawyer, but it'll be a long time before I call him anything except Little Bob. I'm telling you what you look in that boy's face. I'm telling you what's the truth. That's Little Bob if I've ever seen Little Bob. Amen. All right. Revelation chapter number 1 tonight. I mean, it's glad you're saved tonight. I'm glad I'm on that deliverance train, aren't you? Amen. Been delivered, being delivered, and thank God we'll yet be delivered. Let's look here tonight. I believe we're going to pick up tonight long about verse number 13, and we'll read down through the rest of the chapter, and we'll review just a little bit and try to finish the message that the Lord's put in our heart for this day. The Bible said, in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks was one likened to the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like undefined brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Let's pray just a moment. Father, we need your help now. I pray, God, tonight as we look into the Word of God for a little while, you'll bless our hearts together. And may the truth that's presented tonight be instrumental in transforming our lives. Make us more like Jesus. In thy name we pray. Amen and amen. We were finishing up tonight, Lord willing, something that we started this morning, a fourth message in the subject, John Saul. And we're looking at, really, I think, in chapter number one, not only what John saw in the glorified Christ, and we're going to key in on that in a minute, but it was in my heart to see why that John was a candidate to see what that he saw from God. John saw, we said this morning, because he was willing to serve. It was given to, the Bible said, his servant, John. And what a blessing it is to be a servant. And then we said John saw because he was willing to share. And we just started really in on that part of the outline. I'd like to finish that up and then go to the third part in that John saw and that he was willing to suffer. And so tonight, we talked about this morning, he shared the plan of salvation. And we saw that there where the Bible said, unto him that loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood and made us kings and priests. I want to say something tonight about the visitation coming up. We're going to have a flyer, the Lord willing, printed up for Bible school. We're going to have two Saturdays, a Saturday in May and a Saturday in June before we start Bible school. I want you to know, listen to me carefully. There are children that don't know that somebody loves them. Are you listening to me tonight? We might think, I tell you, my children are loved. My grandchildren are loved. Your children no doubt know that somebody loves them. But I tell you, there are children out there in some rat holes. How many knows what I just said? And they don't know the love of a mom or the love of a dad, let alone the love of God. And I tell you, John is sharing the plan of salvation. He said, I want you to know he loves us. Hallelujah. I want you to know he washed us. And I want you to know he's made us kings and priests. I didn't mean to say that, but it felt real good saying it. Amen. It's just what we need. We need to understand. We think sometimes, I believe, that everybody knows the plan of salvation. And there are people in our community that don't even know they're loved, let alone, my friend, know the plan of salvation. I've often said nobody cares how much you know until they first know how much you care. And God has given us an opportunity at Bible Way to get out in the highways and the byways and let people know that we care, that we love them, and that we love them because he first loved us. The truth of the matter is, there's not a one of us, unless we're just an out-and-out Pharisee, a hypocrite, that would go out and tell others about church and about Jesus and about the Bible if it wasn't for the one living down inside of us. Amen. Thank God he lives in there. So we see him, that John was willing to serve. He was willing to share. He shares the plan of salvation. And then this morning we got started. Not only does he share the plan of salvation, but he shares the man of salvation, and that is the Lord Jesus. One mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. We looked at his location, this man's location this morning. We saw him in the midst at Calvary, and we saw him in the midst of the church. Now, without reviewing any more, I'd like to pick up and go on in the message. We've looked at this man's location in the chapter. I'd like to look at this man's presentation in the chapter, how that he is presented to us by John in the Spirit on the Lord's day. The first thing you see is his garments. He's presented as a king and as a priest. He's sinless, but he's not only sinless, he's ageless. The word of God said in Daniel chapter 7 and verse number 9, he's the Ancient of Days. Amen. In the midst of seven golden candlesticks was one like to the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. We see his garments. Then look at his head. The Bible said his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire. Talk about that in just a moment. But as I thought about his head, this is the same head. Are you listening? That laid on the breast of Mary. his beloved mother. This is the same head that while he was walking the face of the earth had nowhere to lay his head. The Bible said the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Boy, I tell you, I thank God I was out there in New Mexico years ago. Went up into those mountains, Brother Don, after we left that meeting there. I was in a place, brother, that wasn't too clean. It wasn't too nice. It was out in the middle of a desert. And I was fretting in my spirit, wondering if it'd be some kind of rattlesnake under the bed or some kind of scorpion crawl through the window that didn't have a screen on it. I was murmuring in my spirit. And I tell you, the Holy Ghost visited with me and said if it was Jesus in New Mexico, he'd be right out there in the desert. He didn't even have a place to lay his head down. Amen. Like that God had blessed me with. And the Lord made me ashamed of myself. They laid, my friend, this is the head that was crowned with thorns. His own blood mixed with the spittle of his enemies. This is a head that laid in a cold, dark tomb and covered with a napkin. Someday, praise God, some glorious day, this same head will be crowned with many crowns. And we'll hear him say, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Praise God for his head. Amen. It's not going to be the same next time as it was the last time. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. Speaking of his wisdom, speaking of his purity. And then the Bible said his eyes were as a flame of fire. His eyes speaks of his omniscience, his intelligence, his perception. What do you mean, preacher? That means he knows everything. I tell you what, that always amazed them in the Gospels. You go with Jesus through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you'll find out people were amazed that, my friend, he didn't even know what they were doing. He knew why they were doing it. He didn't even know what they were doing, but he knew what they were thinking. How many knows that? Say amen. And the Word of God tells us, beloved, that his eyes, in Proverbs, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 15:3, there's nothing hidden. Zacchaeus was not hidden in a tree. Peter was not hidden by the fire. The heart of the critical Pharisees was not hidden. He sees every motive. He sees every sin. He sees every secret in our hearts, my friend, and in our lives. Those are the same eyes that were wet with tears when Lazarus died. Those are the same eyes that stood up there and looked out over Jerusalem and wept over the city. Those are the same eyes, my friend, that are looking on this service tonight and knows exactly what's in the heart of every one of us in this building tonight. Thank God for his eyes. The Bible said, my friend, listen, those eyes teaches us, those eyes are still seeing everything in our lives today. The Bible said in Hebrews 4:13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things, listen, are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I made a critical mistake. I learned by the time we had the second two children. My wife and I had two children, then 8 years later, God gave us two more children. But I tell you something that children need to know. They need to know whether mom and dad can see or not. There's a God in heaven that sees. There's a God in heaven you can't hide from. There's never been an alley or a parking lot so dark that he can't see what's going on. Help me tonight. Amen. I tell you, there's never been a room in a building or a back room in an office that the God of heaven doesn't know everything that's going on. We need to teach our children. Listen, they ought to respect mom and dad. They ought to obey mom and dad. But I tell you, there's one higher than mom. There's one higher than dad. And beloved, we're going to have to do with him. Amen. The Bible said in Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Look at his feet. We're talking about this man's presentation. John said, I want to tell you what he showed me, what I saw when I looked at him. His feet were like brass, undefined brass, as if they burned in a furnace. Brass or bronze in the Bible speaks of judgment. The first time he came, his feet walked the dusty roads of this world, and then they ended up nailed to an old rugged cross. But the next time he comes, his feet will walk out on the clouds. Glory to God, to receive his church unto himself. And then 7 years later, those feet will be straddled of a white stallion, and he'll come out to defeat the enemy once and for all. Amen. Bless the Lord. His feet. Think about his voice. The word of God said here, his voice was as the sound of many waters. I want to ask a question tonight. I've never had the privilege. I've really not had the desire. I could have gone, I guess, years ago. I believe the furthest up that way I've been is Hartford, Connecticut. And I was preaching a meeting in Wallingford, Connecticut. And a dear pastor there and the dear people there, they supported us in the mission work. And it was a great church. I mean, really, the church is up there. I say this, and I don't say it in a mean spirit, but around here, it's not too hard to find a good church. But up there, buddy, when you get north of that Mason-Dixon line, it's a different country. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, you don't hear much preaching, and you don't hear much teaching, and you don't see much going on for the glory of God. But every now and then you run across a church that God has planted in the wilderness. Amen. And I tell you, I went up there to Hartford. But how many, anybody ever been to Niagara Falls? Anybody? A bunch of you all have. Amen. Well, this is what they tell me. There's 12 million, I believe, let me make sure I got this right, 12 million cubic feet per minute of water going across those falls and crashing into those rocks below. How many knows that'd be the sound of many waters? In other words, that sound, John said, when I heard his voice, it was like the sound of many waters. Let me tell you what it'll do. It'll get your attention. Somebody help me. Amen. Let me tell you something else it'll do. It'll drown out all the other little sounds. You know what we need? Amen. We need a generation that'll listen for his voice. And my friend, just stop listening to all these little voices coming and going in this world. Amen. His voice, the walls, the falls, the water crashes, and it becomes the great sound, my friend, of many waters. My, how we need to hear his voice. Then we see his hand in verse number 16. Where is it here? And he had in his right hand 7 stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun which shineth in his strength. He had in his right hand the people that John was writing to were undergoing intense persecution. John had been exiled for the word of God and for his testimony. And some people believe that these stars, they refer to a guardian angel that was sent to minister to these 7 churches. Others believe that what this is speaking about is the pastors of these 7 churches. I want to say this tonight. That's the way I lean. Amen. I believe that it's speaking of the pastor of these 7 local churches. Are you listening to me tonight? And what John wanted them to know when he's writing to him, Brother David, is that the under shepherd is in the upper shepherd's hand. Amen. That the upper shepherd will take care of the under shepherd. You say, well, preacher, who do you think you are? Well, I know who I am. I'm an old sinner, been saved by the grace of God, given a little corner to plow in the field till he comes. But listen, it goes for all of us. The Bible said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man and pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Not only is the under shepherd in the upper shepherd's hand, but I tell you tonight, the sheep are in the upper shepherd's hand. Amen. I tell you, one man said one time, he said, we're in the hand of God. He said, we're sealed by the Holy Ghost of God. He said, well, if a devil could get through all that time he got to me and you, he'd be saved himself. Amen. I tell you, we're secure in the hand of God tonight. Bless his name. Then look at his mouth. The word of God said here in verse number 16, and that out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. Now listen, this is what I believe. I believe this is speaking of none other than the word of the living God. Listen, I believe that what the Bible said here, the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and then the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. Amen. I believe tonight that the word of God is coming out of the mouth of the Son of God. The Bible said in one place, I believe in the book of Psalms, that he had magnified his word even above his name. People today, they throw this Bible aside. They neglect it. They don't believe it. They don't practice it. Amen. But I'll tell you something right now. This book will answer to one day after a while. The word of God is going out of the mouth of the Son of God. And beloved, we will answer to that. We see his face. Look at his countenance here. The Bible said his countenance was as the sun that shineth in his strength. One day we'll see his face. When we do, there'll be no bruises. There'll be no spittle. There'll be no beard with big hunks. There'll be no black eyes. Amen. I tell you, there'll be no blood running down from his brow. One day we'll see him in his glorified state. You say, preacher, what's going to have to happen? Well, I'll tell you what's going to have to happen. We're going to have to be made like him so we can stand it. Because this body couldn't stand it. Are you listening to me tonight? I don't believe, my friend, we could stand it. This is a special revelation given to John. And the word of God said when he saw it, he fell at his feet as dead. It knocked his feet out from under him. And he laid his right hand upon me saying, fear not. When our Savior is presented to us, I believe you and I will do the same thing. We'll fall at his feet. And we'll want to worship him. We'll want to worship him. William Temple, he was a renowned archbishop in Canterbury. He defined worship as the quickening of the consciousness by the holiness of God. Feeding the mind with the truth of God. Listen, purging the imagination by the beauty of God. Opening the heart to the love of God and devoting one's will to the purpose of God Almighty. That's what worship is. That's what worship is. We're working at it now. Thank God one day it will be perfected in his presence. Let me give you this. Not only do we see the man's location in the midst, the man's presentation as John presents the man, Christ Jesus. But let's look at the man's declaration for just a moment. Look in verse number 18. Look at the first two words. What are they? That's what always made them Pharisees mad. I am. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. He said, I am. That's his declaration. I am. Moses said, who shall I say sent me? I am that I am. Praise God. Watch what he said. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, there's them two words again. I am. Hallelujah. He's God. Not was, not will be. I am. Amen. Praise the Lord. I am he. And I am alive forevermore. And have the keys of hell and of death. Oh, what a blessing tonight. The man's declaration. He wants us to know that he lives. He was dead. By the way, I've told you this before, but there's stuff come out in the Muslim community that said he didn't really die. They've got literature that said he just went into a swoon. So they're denying the miracle of the resurrection. I want you to know something right here. The Bible said, my Lord said, my friend, he gave his life for the sheep. The word of God said the life of the flesh is in the blood. And he shed his blood. Some of the songwriters say things like just one drop. I want you to know, beloved, he had to shed all of his blood that you and I could be redeemed. Yes, it was powerful blood. Yes, it was pure blood. Yes, it was promising blood. But listen, he had to die for our sin. He told him, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. He's telling us right here again, in case there's any question mark, I was dead. Not anymore. I am alive. Amen. And I've got some keys. I've got some keys, the keys of death and the keys of hell. It'd be sad to have a business and not have the keys to young business. Amen. The devil's got a business. Yes, he does. But he didn't even have the keys to his own business. Our Savior has the keys of death and the keys of hell. Amen. The Bible said, beloved, he's declaring to us, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive. Let's get on to this last thing right here, and I'll close tonight. He was willing to serve. That's why he saw. He was willing to share. That's why he saw. But this last thing tonight, and I won't be long, he was willing to suffer. He was willing to suffer. His suffering, let me give you three things quickly. Said something about his companions. The Bible said, I, John, in verse number 9, who also am your brother, now watch this, and companion in tribulation. Let me say this to you tonight. When you're suffering as a child of God, you'll never have to look far, and you'll find a companion. You'll find another child of God suffering. Say amen. John was out on the isle called Patmos. It might have looked like he was alone, but honey, he was never alone. Let me say this to the child of God. It'll help you. When you were born again, there'll never be a day you'll be alone again. He said, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. And here, John, his suffering said something about his companions. There were others that were being persecuted. The kingdom of God and the patience of Jesus Christ. I was in the isle called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. You see, he wasn't out there for doing wrong. He was out there for doing right. And beloved, y'all might not understand this. I believe you do if you watch the news. But there are people in our world every day dying, not for doing wrong, but for doing right, for refusing to denounce the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Master, for refusing to denounce the Word of God. They believe the Word of God is true, and they're willing to suffer. John saw because he was willing to suffer. Someone said, I believe it was Oswald Chambers, suffering is the heritage of the bad, listen, of the penitent, and of the Son of God. Each one ends in the cross. The bad thief is crucified, the penitent thief is crucified, and the Son of God is crucified. By these signs we know the widespread heritage of suffering. Listen to me. Suffering is a result of sin. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, there are times when suffering is a result of righteousness and refusing to cave in to sin and this world. His suffering not only said something about his companions, but his suffering said something about his Creator. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Let me tell you something I believe. I believe Job was in the Spirit. I believe that's why he was able, brother, to say the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm going to tell you, when you lose a loved one, you and I both know it hurts to lose a loved one. But I tell you, in the Spirit of God, we know where they are. And in the Spirit of God, we know there'll be a reunion. And in the Spirit of God, we know, beloved, that this suffering is temporal. We're headed home where we'll never suffer again. It says something about our Creator. He said, preacher, where'd you get that? Look at 1 Peter 4:19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. How many believe he's faithful? You remember when Abraham, Brother John, I believe you brought this out in Sunday school a while back. I believe it was you. But you remember when Abraham interceded for Lot, and he was interceding concerning Sodom and Gomorrah. Would you destroy the city? I think he started with 50. I believe that's right. And I believe he got down to 10. And God said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. Right? I believe that's right. And then, in that passage of Scripture, here's what Abraham said. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? I tell you tonight, you ought to make a note, a mental note, a note in your Bible. It'll help you down the road somewhere to just be able to say, Lord, this looks all wrong, but you always do right. That's what Job understood. That's what John understood. That's what Abraham understood. The judge of all the earth never misses it. He always gets it right. He always gets it right. It looks bad, but he was saying something about his creator. And then let me give you this, and I'm done. His suffering not only said something about his companions, said something about his creator, but thank God his suffering said something about his commitment. What do you mean, preacher? Well, look at verse 11. The Bible said here, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, there's those two words again, I am. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book. Now I want to ask you a question. Did John keep his part of the bargain? The Bible said holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Do we have the book of Revelation in front of us? Is it accurate? You better believe it is. And what I'm trying to say to you is through all the suffering that John was experiencing, he kept his commitment to God. He didn't go out there looking for a juniper tree. He went out there looking for something to write with. He went out there looking to obey the Lord. Amen. That it saved him. And the one that, my friend, because of his testimony, because of the word of God. I'll tell you what I believe about John. Now listen to him carefully. Y'all know that preachers have some favorite preachers. Just preachers that leave a mark. And Brother Rightly Sally left a mark in my life. He dripped with honey from heaven. One of the sweetest men, Brother Gale, I've ever met in my life. Let me tell you something. I believe John was that way. I believe he had such a love for God. I believe he had such a love for God's people. And he never wavered in his commitment to the Lord. God told him to write. So what'd he do? He wrote. I believe that, don't you? He said, here, write. What thou seest, write in a book. And then he said, send it. Don't keep it. Send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Someone asked C.S. Lewis, why do the righteous suffer? C.S. Lewis said this. I read this and it blessed me. He said, why not? They're the only ones that can handle it. You think about that. They're the only ones that in the face of suffering can look up, Brother Steve, and say, God is good. He always does right. This seems terrible. It seems bad. But I know he's working it together for good. How do I know that? Because I love him. To them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I believe that tonight. I believe that's why Paul, he could be stoned. That means throwing rocks at him. Left outside the city for dead. They thought he was dead meat. He could be shipwrecked. He could be beaten. He could be imprisoned. And he'd come to the end of his life and say, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. What do you mean, preacher? He said, I'm not looking at the things which are seen. I'm looking at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. I don't say this in a critical way. Please, please, I'm not criticizing. But I believe God's people, all of us, were better off when we didn't have so much to see down here. So much to pull our attention away from the house of God, away from the Word of God, away from the people of God. I tell you, every one of us, we have our interests. Some are interested in fishing and hunting. And by the way, if somebody will remember this, I heard on the radio, I'd say they'll do it every year, but I heard on the radio yesterday, coming to the church yesterday morning, that at 12 o'clock yesterday at Natural Tunnel State Park, I've never been there, but they had trout fishing for the kids. It was free. You didn't have to have a license. They supplied the bait. They supplied the hooks and sinkers if you had a pole and a line on it. And I just think it would be awesome to take the kids over there if we can, you know, find out when that's going on. It might be a circus. Amen. You don't never know. I suggest plenty of chaperones. And I suggest also that we stay back away when they're casting for the first time. Amen. But what I'm saying is we all have our interests. Some are interested in fishing. Some are interested in hunting. Some are interested in golfing. Some are interested in carpentry. Some are interested in garden work. Everybody has an interest of some kind. But I would say this. Be careful that interest doesn't pull you away from what interested John right here in the book of the Revelation. Just be careful. And I think I can say this without... everybody knows how I am. Brother James knows how I am. If I go bowling, I'm going to whoop somebody, ain't I, Brother James? I ain't going to get mad if I don't. Brother James has whooped me, and I've whooped him. Amen? But I'm going to whoop somebody. If I play, I'm going to give it all. And I don't know, Brother John, I hadn't been here long, and Brother John bought me a set of golf clubs and gave them to me. And I rode them around in the back of my car for 2 weeks. He gave me some balls where I could practice some in the backyard. I think that'd be hazardous to windows myself, but anyway. Listen, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I know me. I know my flesh. And I couldn't get any peace about getting them out of the trunk. Because I knew that if I started, I'd want to get good at it. That don't mean I won't go one day, amen. That don't mean that. But I just didn't feel like I could handle it. Some people can handle it, you know what I mean, and some can't. Amen. I just know that whatever I get into, I seem to go whole hog at it. And I just got to be careful that I don't. Somebody says, well, why do you hunt, or do you have time to hunt? The truth of that, Brother Brian, is no. That's the truth. I don't have time. I take time. I take a little time and get away. That's the truth. I'm just telling you the truth. I take time. I would go fishing more often if they would bite more often. I mean, I don't know why a man would want to go fishing and come home with what he left with. Besides, Brother Houston, fishing takes patience. Amen. How many knows I'm telling it right tonight? Doesn't matter what it is, it can start small in our lives. It can end up consuming us. So let's just be careful. Remember, John Saul, he was willing to serve, he was willing to share, and he was willing to suffer for the cause of Christ. Amen. And I appreciate John, don't you? We've got a precious book here. I'm just talking about the Revelation. We've got John's Gospel. We've got 1 John and 2 John and 3 John. We've got the book of Revelation because there was one man that was willing to serve, one man that was willing to share, and one man. I wonder how many lives have been changed by the material. I don't know about you, but every time I have the privilege to see somebody saved, I always encourage them to read the book of John and the book of Romans. That's a good starting place, in my estimation, for a new believer. The book of John. John said, these things were written that you might believe. I believe when you read through the book of John, John has a theme. He's wanting us to believe, 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 believe. He's wanting to build our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I tell you tonight, I appreciate John. I mean, he's glad you come this way tonight. Thank you for coming. Let's, like the songwriter said, let's turn our eyes upon Jesus. Let's look full. Boy, I enjoyed Wednesday night. Reaching up. Boy, I tell you, that blessed me. Amen. I ain't got over that yet. Reaching up. But let's look full in His wonderful face. If we'll do that, the things of earth will grow strangely dim. Let me give you an illustration. How many's ever been to the hospital with somebody that you love dearly and their life was hanging in the balance? How many knows what I'm talking about right there? Were we thinking about hunting or fishing or golfing or any other thing? I'm just throwing them things out there. That's things I'm a little bit familiar with. You know why? There were more important things, weren't they, on our mind. Eternity was on our mind. Our loved one was on our mind. And I'm not being critical tonight. I'm just asking us as God's people to be careful. Because there's a lot of things out there. I mean, I don't have a Twitter account. If you do, I'm not criticizing. I don't have a Facebook account. If you do, I'm not criticizing. I don't know what other accounts you can get. But I know this. If you're not careful, those things will pull your attention away from the one that deserves your attention. Amen. From the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for this Bible. Thank you for this brother and companion in tribulation, the Apostle John. Lord, I'm so glad he was so willing to serve, willing to share, willing to suffer. Lord, help me to be willing. Help me, dear Lord, to be willing. Help us all. Lord, I pray for the revival going on over at Oak Glen. Oh God, I pray you bless your people there. Lord, I pray that souls will be saved, saints will be stirred. God, I do pray you'd keep your hand on our church. Lord, I remember the lesson, I think right after the first of the year in Sunday school, looking unto Jesus, laying aside the weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, There are some things in life that are good. Less than they pull us away from you, then they become bad. I pray, God, you'd give us discernment. Help us, Lord, to glean something tonight that'll help us be a better Christian this week, to share, Lord, with somebody else this week. And Lord, if we must suffer, there's a family suffering tonight with the loss of a father, another family suffering with the loss of the pastor, the preacher, my brother Jim. God, I pray tonight you'd minister to them in their suffering. I pray, God, tonight for our folks that are up in years. Some are slowing way down, Lord. I pray, God, you'd strengthen them. Pray you'd help them. I pray, Lord, that, Lord, even as some are headed out into eternity, Lord, if you don't touch them, the doctors have said they're going to pass not too many months. I pray, God, you'd help them in their suffering. Draw near to them. Help us to be a blessing to them. And Lord, we'll give you glory in Jesus' name.